Welcome to the Bitcoin Brief for Thursday, February 26th, 2026. I'm an AI-generated version of Marty Bent. The stories and opinions you're about to hear are drawn from today's Bitcoin Brief newsletter, written and curated by the real Marty and his AI assistant. Bitcoin is sitting at $68,166, 1,467 sats per dollar, block height 938,427. Today we're covering Bitcoin Brief and nine more stories. Let's get into it. Let's start with the lead story, Bitcoin Brief. Sup, freaks. A federal lawsuit has landed on Jane Street's Manhattan doorstep, and the timing of what happened next has the entire market talking. The trading firm at the center of allegations that it suppressed Bitcoin prices every day at 10 a.m. now faces serious legal scrutiny. And since the filing, the suspicious 10 a.m. price dumps that had been occurring with unusual regularity appear to have stopped. Since the lawsuit, Bitcoin is up 10%, and Google searches for how to buy Bitcoin just hit a five-year high. Turns out when the market manipulation stops, people actually want to buy the hardest money ever created. Who could have seen that coming? Listen to today's brief, AI-generated audio version, 16 minutes. Moving on to another story that caught my eye. Jane Street hit with federal lawsuit as Bitcoin surges. The plot thickens. Jane Street, the high-frequency trading firm at the center of allegations that it may have been suppressing Bitcoin prices around 10 a.m. each trading day, is now under serious legal scrutiny after a federal lawsuit was filed against them Monday. Jeff Park, CIO at ProCap, laid out a compelling timeline. Since the lawsuit landed, the suspicious 10 a.m. Bitcoin price drops that had been occurring with unusual regularity appear to have stopped. Here's what makes this worth watching closely. As at LP Capital Shy noted, if Jane Street was trading against its clients and precipitated the leveraged unwind from $126,000, Bitcoin is going to run it back significantly higher. That's the crux of the allegations, the theory. Jane Street may have been using its market-making position to create synthetic supply through derivatives while suppressing the price at predictable intervals. It remains unproven, but the circumstantial evidence is piling up. The market reaction since the lawsuit has been notable. Bitcoin is up over 10% since the filing, breaking through $68,000 as buying pressure that may have been constrained found room to breathe. Google searches for how to buy Bitcoin are at a five-year high, suggesting retail interest is surging in the wake of these revelations. If the manipulation allegations are proven true, the consequences for Jane Street would be severe. Securities manipulation at this scale, if confirmed, carries serious penalties. More importantly for Bitcoin, it suggests the manipulation was real, systematic, and profitable enough that they'd risk federal charges to cover it up. The fact that Bitcoin immediately rallied 10% after the alleged manipulation stopped tells you everything about how much artificial selling pressure was being applied to suppress the price. Next up, UBS models $300 billion in losses if AI triggers a private credit blowup.
Why it matters. Private credit is the new subprime, and AI disruption could be the match. A new UBS Global Strategy report dated February 24 lays out a tail risk scenario that should have every freak paying attention. Private credit has exploded from 1% of GDP in 2008 to 6% today, now rivaling traditional bank and bond markets in size. UBS is modeling what happens if rapid AI disruption triggers cascading defaults in the sectors where private credit is most concentrated. Services, 25 to 30%, technology, 20 to 25%, and healthcare, 15 to 17%. In their tail scenario, private credit defaults hit 14 to 15%, high yield defaults reach 8 to 10%, and leveraged loan defaults climb to 3 to 6%. Total defaults across these three markets, $420 billion. Total losses, $300 billion. The contagion channel is what makes this truly dangerous. Private and public credit markets are deeply interconnected. The top 20 direct lenders don't just dominate private credit, they hold massive stakes in BDCs, 45%, leveraged loans, 20%, and high-yield bonds, 25%. U.S. and European banks have $2.5 trillion in total exposure to non-bank financial institutions. A spike in private defaults doesn't stay private. It ripples into public markets, widens spreads everywhere, and tightens credit availability by 50 to 75%. UBS is clear. The market is not in crisis, but the ingredients are present for a severe credit cycle. The parallels to 2008 are uncomfortable. Opaque valuations, weakening covenants, aggressive earnings adjustments, and a financial system that is quietly loaded up on exposure it may not fully understand. The trigger last time was housing. This time, it could be AI making entire business models obsolete overnight. Here's something interesting. Shapiro sues Trump over vaccine schedule overhaul.
Why it matters. Government officials with pharma conflicts fighting to maintain a vaccine schedule that growing evidence suggests harms children. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro is suing the Trump administration to challenge their illegal overhaul of the CDC's vaccination recommendations for children. The lawsuit comes as Trump and RFK Jr. move to reform a vaccine schedule that many argue has grown dangerously bloated over decades. What makes Shapiro's legal challenge particularly galling is the timing and the money trail. The evidence against the current vaccine schedule continues mounting. Studies from Japan show SIDS rates dropped significantly after they moved routine vaccinations from 3 months to 2 years of age. Meanwhile, vaccine confidence has plummeted following COVID vaccine failures that destroyed public trust in health authorities. Consider this. None of the vaccines recommended by the CDC for routine childhood immunization were licensed by the FDA based on long-term, placebo-controlled trials. Follow-up periods ranged from just 3 days to 6 months, and nearly all trials used other vaccines or adjuvants as the placebo rather than saline. This is not rigorous science. It is a mass experiment. Yet governors like Shapiro, who receive substantial campaign contributions from pharmaceutical companies, are using the courts to protect this schedule, rather than questioning whether the data behind it actually meets the standard we should demand before injecting infants. The evidence against the current vaccine schedule continues mounting. Studies from Japan show SIDS rates dropped significantly after they moved routine vaccinations from 3 months to 2 years of age. Meanwhile, vaccine confidence has plummeted following COVID vaccine failures that destroyed public trust in health authorities. Consider this. None of the vaccines recommended by the CDC for routine childhood immunization were licensed by the FDA based on long-term, placebo-controlled trials. Follow-up periods ranged from just 3 days to 6 months, and nearly all trials used other vaccines or adjuvants as the placebo rather than saline. This is not rigorous science. It is a mass experiment. Yet governors like Shapiro, who receive substantial campaign contributions from pharmaceutical companies, are using the courts to protect this schedule, rather than questioning whether the data behind it actually meets the standard we should demand before injecting infants. Let's talk about this next one.
California home sales collapse due to insurance crisis. Why it matters. The inflation you feel, but the government doesn't count. 1 in 5 California home sales were canceled last year because buyers couldn't find affordable homeowners insurance. According to the California Association of Realtors, some homeowners are now facing annual insurance bills of $44,000, nearly matching their mortgage payments, while Lloyd's of London quotes even higher at $80,000 annually for the same coverage. Here's the kicker. Homeowners insurance premium increases don't factor into official CPI inflation calculations, despite representing a massive cost burden for real families. The Bureau of Labor Statistics claims shelter represents 35% of CPI, but homeowners insurance allegedly accounts for just 0.4% of the total index. This is mathematical fraud disguised as economic measurement. When your insurance bill jumps from $500 to $44,000 per year, but economists insist inflation is contained, you're witnessing the gap between propaganda and reality that's driving Americans away from traditional financial institutions and toward Bitcoin. Here's the kicker. Homeowners insurance premium increases don't factor into official CPI inflation calculations, despite representing a massive cost burden for real families. The Bureau of Labor Statistics claims shelter represents 35% of CPI, but homeowners insurance allegedly accounts for just 0.4% of the total index. This is mathematical fraud disguised as economic measurement. When your insurance bill jumps from $500 to $44,000 per year, but economists insist inflation is contained, you're witnessing the gap between propaganda and reality that's driving Americans away from traditional financial institutions and toward Bitcoin. Speaking of the broader landscape, Bitcoin range-bound as conviction remains weak.
Why it matters. On-chain data reveals market structure at critical juncture between seller exhaustion and renewed accumulation. Glassnode's latest weekly analysis, published before today's price surge above 68K, paints a picture of a Bitcoin market that was stuck in structural limbo. Take the snapshot with a grain of salt given the move, but the underlying data is still instructive. At a 47% drawdown from all-time highs, Bitcoin remains range-bound between 60 and 70,000, with nearly 9.2 million BTC now held at a loss. The accumulation trend score has remained below 0.5 since early February, signaling weak conviction from larger entities, despite widespread unrealized losses that historically mark late-stage bear markets. Most telling is the 90-day realized profit-loss ratio falling below 1.0, confirming an excess loss regime where loss realization dominates profit-taking. This threshold historically persists for 6 months or longer, reflecting structurally impaired liquidity. Spot markets show decisive sell-side dominance, while ETF flows remain in persistent outflow territory. The data suggests Bitcoin is closer to a potential bottoming range than early bear market territory, but sustained recovery requires renewed spot absorption and large entity accumulation that simply isn't materializing yet. Most telling is the 90-day realized profit-loss ratio falling below 1.0, confirming an excess loss regime where loss realization dominates profit-taking. This threshold historically persists for 6 months or longer, reflecting structurally impaired liquidity. Spot markets show decisive sell-side dominance, while ETF flows remain in persistent outflow territory. The data suggests Bitcoin is closer to a potential bottoming range than early bear market territory, but sustained recovery requires renewed spot absorption and large entity accumulation that simply isn't materializing yet. Another signal worth paying attention to. Bitcoin gets covenants without changing consensus rules.
Why it matters. Robin Linus demonstrates transaction introspection capabilities using existing Bitcoin script, bypassing the contentious soft fork debate entirely. Robin Linus announced that a transaction has been successfully mined demonstrating limited covenant functionality using only existing Bitcoin script functions. No soft fork required.
His BinoHash paper outlines how transaction introspection can work within Bitcoin's current consensus rules, potentially eliminating the need for Bitcoin-like clients in BitVM bridges while simplifying construction and improving security. This is an exciting development, though still early days and largely theoretical at this stage. The Covenant debate has raged for years, with camps divided over whether enabling these capabilities requires risky consensus changes that could fracture the network. Linus has demonstrated that some of the functionality may be achievable using tools already available in Bitcoin's scripting language. It's experimental and limited in scope compared to full Covenant proposals, but it's the kind of breakthrough worth watching closely. Don't set expectations too high, but this is genuinely worth paying attention to as it matures. Encha's soft fork politics to resolve. It's another example of Bitcoin's existing design being more powerful and flexible than most people realize. This is an exciting development, though still early days and largely theoretical at this stage. The Covenant debate has raged for years, with camps divided over whether enabling these capabilities requires risky consensus changes that could fracture the network. Linus has demonstrated that some of the functionality may be achievable using tools already available in Bitcoin's scripting language. It's experimental and limited in scope compared to full Covenant proposals, but it's the kind of breakthrough worth watching closely. Don't set expectations too high, but this is genuinely worth paying attention to as it matures. Encha's soft fork politics to resolve. It's another example of Bitcoin's existing design being more powerful and flexible than most people realize. On a related note, no, AI compute is not killing Bitcoin mining.
Why it matters. The death of proof-of-work narrative is back, and it's just as wrong as it was the last 10 times. The FUD is making the rounds again. Austin Federa claimed that Bitcoin miners are abandoning mining for AI because AI data centers pay more for the same power, and the usual suspects declared it the death of POW. This analysis is incomplete at best. Yes, some AI data centers are now mining behind the meter at power facilities, technically off-grid in the sense that they lack a grid interconnect. But that is a different animal than Bitcoin miners running off generators on stranded natural gas wells or capturing flared methane in remote locations. Bitcoin's key advantage is its fully interruptible load profile. Miners can shut off instantly and restart with zero consequences. AI workloads demand 99.99% uptime. That distinction matters enormously. The smarter framing is not AI versus mining, but AI plus mining. The real opportunity is symbiosis. AI hyperscalers could pair their data centers with co-located Bitcoin mining operations to lock in lower power purchase agreements. The mining operations participate in demand response programs, which lowers the overall electricity cost. When demand spikes on the grid, the AI data centers keep running while the miners turn off and deliver capacity back to the grid. The AI operators get cheaper power, the grid gets a flexible buffer, and the miners get paid either way. On top of that, miners will continue to thrive in locations AI cannot reach. Stranded natural gas wells, flared methane, remote hydro, and other energy sources with no grid connection. ASIC commodification is approaching the point where mining chips get embedded in household hardware like water heaters. As I noted on X, US water heating alone represents roughly 4 ZH per second of potential hash rate at average miner efficiencies. Hash rate will continue to rise. The people calling for the death of proof of work have been wrong for over a decade. They will be wrong again. Now, shifting gears. SocGen's Albert Edwards. The AI macro doomsday scenario is here right now.
Why it matters. One of Wall Street's most respected macro strategists says the AI-driven consumer crunch is not a 2028 problem. It is happening today. Albert Edwards, SocGen's legendary global strategist, published a note this week arguing that the adverse macroeconomic effects of AI are already visible in the data and do not require a multi-year lag to materialize. U.S. consumer spending growth of nearly 3% is entirely unsupported by real personal disposable income, which has been flat for 6 months. The only thing keeping consumption alive is a collapse in the savings ratio to 3.6%. a level not seen since the euphoria of the 2006 housing bubble. Edwards argues this is not because households expect higher future income. It is because real incomes hit a wall and people are drawing down savings to maintain their standard of living. When the savings ratio stops falling, consumption growth goes to zero. When it rises on a precautionary basis, consumption falls outright. He sides with incoming Fed Chair Kevin Warsh that AI productivity gains will push interest rates lower, not higher, and notes that SocGen's asset allocation reflects maximum bearishness. 30% equities versus 60% neutral, 50% bonds, 20% cash. AI job displacement is already showing up in hiring data, especially for recent graduates, and Edwards believes rates could fall far more than the market anticipates. Moving on to another story that caught my eye. Declassified CIA document details plans to drug populations through food and water.
Why it matters. The same government that planned covert chemical mind control added fluoride to the water supply. Connect the dots. A declassified CIA document from Project Artichoke, 1951 to 1956, has resurfaced, detailing proposals to manipulate human behavior through covert chemical drugging. The seven-page report outlines two categories of chemical weapons against the mind: immediate effect drugs like truth serums, and long-term compounds designed to produce anxiety, nervousness, tension, or despondency, hopelessness, lethargy. Delivery methods included food, water, Coca-Cola, beer, and even vaccinations. Project Artichoke was the precursor to MKUltra, which scaled these experiments across universities and prisons using unwitting subjects. The uncomfortable overlap. Peer-reviewed research shows the human pineal gland accumulates fluoride at extraordinary levels, and a 2020 study found that removing fluoride from diet produced a 73% increase in functional pineal cells within 8 weeks. Calcified pineal glands produce less melatonin, disrupting sleep, cognition, and mood. A government that documented its desire to covertly drug populations into altered mental states has been adding a chemical to the water supply since 1945 that science shows damages the part of the brain responsible for consciousness and hormonal regulation. RFK Jr. has already moved to end fluoridation of U.S. water. Maybe there is a reason that decision is being resisted so aggressively. That's going to do it for today's Bitcoin Brief. If you want to read the full written version with all the links and data, head over to tftc.io/bitcoin-brief. If you got value from this, share it with a friend. Stay humble. Stack sats. I'll see you tomorrow.